भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरांध्रस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्ता राधाकान्ता नमोस्तुते। तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामो राम रामो हरे हरे।
So we have completed the 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam yesterday. Today we'll have a quick overview of the 9th canto summary. So this begins like this. At the end of 8th canto, the main theme is the Manvantaras. The different reigns of various manus, 14 manus that come in a day of Brahma. So at the end of 8th canto, Sukadeva Goswami narrates the episode of Satyavrata Maharaj. He gets the darshan of Lord Matsya, and Lord Matsya takes Satyavrata Maharaj and few other sages in the ocean of inundation. So Satyavrata Maharaj, in his next life, appeared as Manu, Vaivasvata Manu. He appeared as the son of Vivasvan God. So he became Vaivasvata. His name is also called Shraddha Deva. So he became Manu. So that's how the 8th canto ends. So in the beginning of the 9th canto, Parikshit Maharaj asks, so I want to hear about the dynasty of Vaivasvata Manu. So Vaivasvata Manu is the 7th Manu in this day of Brahma. So now currently we are in Vaivasvata Manvantara. Vaivasvata Manvantara, Kaliyuge, Prathama Pade, Jambudvipe. We recite this in the beginning of any auspicious ritual, right? Bhumi Puja or some other pujas, especially in South India we hear. So we are in Vaivasvata Manvantara. So now Parikshit Maharaj is inquisitive to know about the dynasty of Vaivasvata Manu. So the main theme in the 9th canto is Ishanukatha. Ishanukatha means the descriptions of Lord's incarnations and the descriptions of his devotees. So all the descriptions related to Lord and his devotees combined together is called Ishanukatha. This is the predominant theme of 9th canto. So in this canto we have descriptions of so many devotees, small stories, many kings like that. It is said that if we hear all these descriptions of their names, also it is purified. One gets purified. So there are mainly two parts in the ninth canto. The first part describes the sun dynasty. Then second part describes the moon dynasty. So the lineages which are originating from the sun god and moon god are described in the two halves of this canto. So first we will begin with the sun dynasty. The first chapter begins with sun dynasty. So we will come to this chart at the end or somewhere in the middle as per need, right? So to summarize, so from Supreme Lord comes Lord Brahmaji. From Brahma comes Marichi. And Marichi's son is Kashyapa. And Kashyapa gets married to Aditi. And their son is Vivashvan. And Vivashvan's son is Shraddhadeva or Vaivasvata. Vaivasvata Manu. So we are there now. So Vaivasvata Manu's descendants are as follows. So Vaivasvata Manu had one daughter, Ila. And the daughter is also son, Sudyumna. So that description is given in first chapter. Then he has 10 other sons, headed by Ikshvaku, then Nruga, Sharyati, Dishta, Drishta, Karusha, Narishyanta, Prishadra, then Nabhaga and Kavi. These are the 10 sons of Vaivasvata Manu, plus another son, Ila and Sudyumna. So first chapter describes the story of Sudyumna or Ila. Second chapter describes the stories of Prishadra, Kavi. Then second chapter also gives the descriptions of Karusha, Dishta, Nruga, Narishyanta and Dishta. Then third chapter describes the descendants of Sharyati. Then fourth chapter describes the descendants of Nabhaga, and in his lineage comes Ambarish Maharaj. So Sukadeva Goswami elaborates more on Ambarish Maharaj. That is two chapters, fourth and fifth chapter. Then sixth chapter describes the begins the description of the dynasty of Ikshvaku. So Ikshvaku's sons are Vikukshi, Nimi and Dandaka, and they have a long lineage. Actually Ikshvaku's dynasty is the longest dynasty in this sun dynasty. In amongst the sons of Vaivasvata Manu, Ikshvaku had the longest lineage. So his lineage spans from 6th chapter till 13th chapter. So in this, the prominent kings are Sagara, then Amshuman, Asamanjasa, Dilipa, Bhagiratha, then Khatvanga, and Lord Ramachandra, Dasharatha Maharaj, Nimi. These are all the descendants coming, appearing in Ikshvaku dynasty. So that is the first part of this canto. In the second part of the canto, we have the moon dynasty. So from Garbhodaksaya Vishnu comes Brahmaji. Brahma's son is Atri. Atri's son is Soma. So Soma's son is Buddha. So this Buddha got married to Ila. Ila is the daughter of Vaivasvata Manu. So he got married here. So their son is Pururava. So Ila plus Buddha gave birth to Pururava. And Pururava united with Urvashi, and then he had six sons. So the dynasties of these six sons are described elaborately from 15th chapter till 24th chapter. Right? So we will discuss this. I think you can give me the bag. So we have a chart with both dynasties and the important names, the prominent names of both dynasties are given in this chart. So you can go through. Cut into half vertically. So we will begin with the first chapter. So first chapter, the beginning few verses, six verses are Parikshit Maharaj's inquiries, his inquisitiveness to know about Vaivasvata Manu's dynasty. Okay. Now when Parikshit Maharaj wanted to know about Vaivasvata Manu's dynasty, Sukadeva Goswami began. So Supreme Lord's son is Brahma, Brahma's son is Marichi, Marichi's son is Kashyapa, and his wife is Aditi, and they gave birth to Vivashvan, sun god. And sun god's son is Vaivasvata Manu, Shraddhadeva, as we discussed now, and he had 10 sons. this description we have seen now. Now, a sacrifice happened. So, this is the beginning of the description of Vaivasvata Manu's dynasty. So, Vaivasvata Manu wanted a son. So, he performed a sacrifice. So, he told the priest, I want a son. And the main priest in this sacrifice was Vasishtha. Right? So, but Vaivasvata Manu had the desire for a son. But his wife, Shraddha, she had a desire for a daughter. So, she went to the priest and said, I want a daughter. So, priest chanted some mantras and then they got a daughter. After seeing the daughter, Vaivasvata Manu was a little bewildered. I wanted a son. How come I got a daughter? So, he went and asked Vasishtha Muni. Vasishtha Muni said, oh, this is Vasishtha Muni, because of his mystic power, he could understand. This is the mistake of the priest and because of your wife's request. So, I will transform your daughter into son. So, the daughter's name is Ila, and Vasishtha Muni transforms daughter into son, Sudyumna. This Sudyumna, once he goes for hunting, so he enters a forest called Sukumara. So, in that, as soon as he enters the forest, he got transformed into a female. So, then he was bewildered. How come I am male and I got transformed into female? Then, actually the story of the Sukumara forest was that once Shiva and Parvati, so they were having their pleasure pastimes in this forest, and some sages came there to visit Lord Shiva. So, at that time, because they were very intimate, so Parvati got little ashamed to see all the sages who came to meet Lord Shiva. So, Lord Shiva said, okay, you are getting embarrassed, so I will do an arrangement. Whoever enters this forest will become a female, right? So, Sudyumna entered that forest and Sudyumna became female, Ila. So, by seeing that female form of Sudyumna, Ila, who was very beautiful, moon god's son, Buddha, he got attracted. So, he united with Ila and then their son was Pururava. So, later, Sudyumna in female form went to Vasishtha. So Vasishtha, Sudyumna asked Vasishtha, so I am a male, I got transformed into female because of this, so help me. So Vasishtha went and offered his prayers to Lord Shiva. So Shiva gave a benediction to this Sudyumna that you will be in this female form for 1 month and you will be transformed into male for another month. So every alternate month you will be transformed from male to female, female to male, like that. So like that. So Sudyumna, as a male, he gave birth to Utkala, Gaya and Vimala, 3 sons. Sudyumna had 3 sons, and Sudyumna as female, Ila, got 1 son. His name is Pururava. Okay, Pururava is in Moon dynasty, and these 3 kings are in Sun dynasty. Okay, that is the end of the first chapter. Now, we enter the second chapter. So, in the second chapter, at the end of first chapter, there is a description that Sudyumna, after giving birth to these 3 sons, and after some time he retired, and Swayam, or Vaivasvata Manu, worshipped the Lord, and he wanted more sons. So, he got 10 sons. So, from second chapter onwards, there is a description of 10 sons of Vaivasvata Manu. So, one of the sons, you see, these are the 10 sons, Ikshvaku, Nruga, Sharyati, Dishta, Drishta, Karusha, Narishyanta, Prishadra. So, we will begin with Prishadra, see this 8th son. So, first the description of Prishadra is given. So, Prishadra, he was taking care of cows, that was the service given to him. So, once he was taking care of the cows, and once a tiger entered the Goshala. So, Prishadra wanted to protect the cows by killing the tiger. So, Prishadra went and attacked the tiger, and by mistake, he killed the cow. So, tiger ran away. Tiger got wounded a little bit and then tiger ran away, but cow died. So, seeing the death of the cow, so everyone was a little bewildered. But this was done by a mistake. It was not intentionally committed cow killing sin, like slaughterhouses. But Vasishtha became very furious. Vasishtha cursed Prishudra. So because you killed a cow, so you will become a Shudra in your next life. So Prishudra, so he, after that incident, Prishudra took the vow of Brahmacharya, and then he performed pure devotional service, and he slowly attained the spiritual world also. So that is the story of Prishudra. Because he is a Brahmachari, no more descendants from him. Okay, another son, his name was Kavi. So Kavi, he is also a great devotee. He was not interested in family life and all. So he went to the forest. He was always thinking of the Lord, and he slowly attained perfection. So there are no descendants from his line also. Then Sukadeva Goswami gives the description of the descendants of four more sons of Vaivasvata Manu. Their names are Karusha, Drishta, Narishyanta, and Dishta. So the lineages of these four sons are given in the second half of the second chapter. So there is a long list of names. So that's how we end the second chapter. So far we have seen the descriptions of six sons of Manu. Dishta, Drishta, Karusha, Narishyanta, Prishudra, and Kavi. These are the six sons. Now four sons are remaining. So now we enter the third chapter. So third chapter gives the description of Sharyati, another son. So Sharyati, he was the son of Vaivasvata Manu, and once he was along with his daughter Sukanya and his so many soldiers, army, so they went to Chavanamuni's ashram. But Chavanamuni was not visible. Why? Because he was sitting under a hole of earthworm. This is anthill. So he was sitting under the hole of an earthworm, right? Glowworm. And then he went inside that, and then he was doing his meditation. So Sukanya saw two things glowing from that hole. So she, out of curious young girl, she went and pierced that holes, right? So because of this offense to Chavanamuni, who was meditating inside that hole, so none of them could pass stool and urine, you know. Then all the soldiers of Sharyati were bewildered, and Sharyati was thinking, I think one of us have committed a grave offense in this ashram, Chavanamuni's ashram, so we need to find out. Then slowly they found out that Sukanya did this job of piercing the holes. Then actually Sharyati went to Chavanamuni to pacify him. But Chavanamuni's mentality was understood by Sharyati, and then Sharyati just offered his beautiful daughter, Sukanya, to Chavanamuni in marriage. So Chavanamuni was very old, and he was very irritable, and Sukanya was very young and tender and a lady. So Sukanya, although she was very young, she accepted to marry Chavanamuni, and then she served Chavanamuni. And Chavanamuni was a very irritable person. So after a while, Chavanamuni thought that I want to become young man. So he wanted to become young man. So he requested this Ashwini Kumaras. So please give me youth. So if you give me youth, I will give you a full pot of somaras. So this Ashwini Kumaras agreed to this proposal. And Ashwini Kumaras took Chavanamuni and entered a lake. And they came out of the lake. And then Chavanamuni also became so young and beautiful like Ashwini Kumaras, so much so that he could not be distinguished in his form, in his physical appearance. He was not even be distinguished from these Kumaras, Ashwini Kumaras. So Sukanya, she can pick up any one of them, but Sukanya went and prayed to Ashwini Kumaras, please reveal who is my husband. I am unable to figure out who is my husband. So this Ashwini Kumaras became very impressed by the chastity of Sukanya, and then they showed her Chavanamuni, who was very young now. And then Sukanya continued to live very happily with young Chavanamuni. So after a while, Sharyati came. Sukanya's father Sharyati came to see the incident, to see what's happening. Then he found that Sukanya was living with a young man. Then Sharyati doubted Sukanya. How dare you cheated Chavanamuni? Okay, I never expected this from you. So we are maintaining a paramour, How can you do this? So he was chastising. So now Sukanya said, please don't misunderstand me. So this is what has happened. This is the whole incident she described. So then Chavanamuni made Shariyati performe Soma Yagya. And then he got Somras for the Ashwini Kumaras. So like that he fulfilled his obligation to Ashwini Kumaras also. So these are the descendants of, we are now describing the descendants of one son of Vaivaswatamanu, Shariyati. His daughter was Chavanamuni, we described her story, and his sons were there. So Shariyati's son was Uttanabarhi. Okay, these are the sons, Uttanabarhi, then Anartha. Anartha's son was Revata. Okay, and Shariyati had another son, Bhurisena. So Shariyati has total three sons. Okay, in that we have this Anartha, his son was Revata, and his son was, he had 100 sons, out of them the eldest was Kakudmi, and he had 99 younger brothers. So Sukadeva Goswami elaborates more on this Kakudmi story. So this Kakudmi, he wanted to get his daughter Revati married to a very qualified son-in-law. So he goes to Brahmalok, and Brahma was very busy. He couldn't attend to Kakudmi very quickly. So Kakudmi was waiting. And Brahmaji finished his work, and then he came to Kakudmi and said, what is the matter? He said, I want to get my daughter married to a qualified husband. Then Brahma said, so you wanted to marry your daughter? So none of the kings of her age are available now. Within the time you were waiting for me, 27 Chaturyugas have already passed. Now, I suggest that you go and marry, get your daughter married with Balaram, brother of Lord Krishna. So then he goes and then he gets Revati married to Balaram. So Revati was very big of Satyuga, you know, 27 Chaturyugas back. So Balaramji was small, just 5,000 years back. So Balaramji took his hull and then pulled Revati down, okay, so that she becomes of his size. Suitable to his size, okay, of Dwapar Yuga. And then they got married. So that is about Brahmaji's time scale there, waiting. Something similar to Indradyumna's story, Jagannath Puri. So that's how the third chapter ends. Now, yeah, Balaramji marries Revati. So now Shariyati is also completed. We have three sons, three more sons of Vaivaswatamanu remaining. So now, this ninth son, Nabhaga, his story we will describe in the fourth chapter. So fourth chapter is the story of, is the descendants of Nabhaga. So Nabhaga's son is Nabhaga. Right? Nabhaga's son is Ambarisha, the famous Ambarisha. So first in this chapter, there is a description of Nabhaga and then Ambarisha. So Nabhaga, actually, Nabhaga's brothers were there. So they divided the property amongst themselves and they said, Your share of the property is your father only. So this Nabhaga went to his father, Nabhaga, and then said, you are my property. Then his father said, I am not your property. So you want some property? You go to some sages. Some descendants of Angira were performing a sacrifice, and they will do some mistakes. You go and then teach them some mantras. They will give you wealth. So with that wealth, you can live. So he did like that only. So he claimed the wealth at that sacrifice, and Shiva came and said, no, this wealth belongs to me. So Nabhaga said, my father said this wealth belongs to me. So the dispute went to his father. So father said, no, this wealth actually belongs to Shiva only. So Nabhaga, he was detached, and then he gave the whole thing to Shiva only. So Shiva explained him the transcendental knowledge, and then he gave him back the wealth. So the Phalastuti, as Sukadeva Goswami mentions, is if one hears and chants this narration, he becomes experienced in understanding the Vedic hymns. So Shiva explained the Vedic hymns to this Nabhaga. So Nabhaga's son is Ambarish Maharaj, very famous king. So Sukadeva Goswami says, Ambarish Maharaj was cursed by a Brahmana, and that curse could not affect him at all. So Parikshit Maharaj becomes inquisitive. He said, how come Brahmana skars did not affect this great king, Ambarish Maharaj? I want to know the story elaborately. Then Sukadeva Goswami elaborates this popular, you know, three verses, Savayamana Krishna Pada Aravindayor, Vayasamchi Vaikuntha Gunana Vatmani. So all those descriptions of Ambarish Maharaj's glorious character, how he, although he was the king of the whole world, he did not care for any of such material opulences, and he ruled the citizens very ideally. Then he performed sacrifices in the deserts, right, where there was no prosperity. He performed sacrifices there and he pleased the Supreme Lord. And Sukadeva Goswami also mentions few verses how a devotee who is completely satisfied with his devotional service will not hanker for any material opulence, etc. So he is totally pacified. He doesn't care for the achievements of great mystics also. That is the glory of a devotee. So seeing the great devotion of Ambarish Maharaj, Supreme Lord gave him Sudarshan Chakra. So Ambarish Maharaj was having Sudarshan Chakra. So once Ambarish Maharaj took a 1 year vow, 1 year Ekadashi Vrata. So he began, he and his queen also. So they were observing Ekadashi Vrata. So 1 year passed. So Ambarish Maharaj did Abhishek of the Supreme Lord, and then he worshipped the Supreme Lord nicely. He gave charity to the Brahmanas. He gave charity of cows, so many cows. So at that time, Durvasmani came. So Ambarish Maharaj received Durvasmani nicely and then requested Durvasmani, please accept meal. Please eat. So Durvasmani accepted the proposal and said, okay, I will go and take bath in Yamuna. I will come back in a while. So Durvasmani was not coming on time, so he was getting little delayed. Then Ambarish Maharaj said, oh, I followed this Ekadashi Vrata for so long, I need to break the fast. But because I invited Durvasmani, I can't break the fast. So shall I take some water? So taking water is not like breaking the fast also, and it is breaking the fast also. So I will take some water. With the permission of other Brahmanas there, Ambarish Maharaj took water. So Durvasmani came. With his mystic power, he understood that Ambarish drank some water. So he became very furious. What? You are not a devotee. You are very proud of your material opulence. You have invited me as a guest. And before I honored anything, you started eating. What kind of guest reception is this? So he took a bunch of hairs from his head. And then he created a fiery demon. So Ambarish Maharaj was undisturbed. So he did not move an inch. So the Sudarshan Chakra burned this fiery demon to ashes. It burned fire to ashes. That is the power of Sudarshan Chakra because of the devotion of Ambarish Maharaj. So then Sudarshan Chakra did not stop there. Sudarshan Chakra started chasing Ambarish, Durvasmani. So Durvasmani wanted to run away. He wanted to hide himself in some Sumeru cave. Then he was not successful. He was running, and then finally he reached Brahmaloka. And then he asked Brahmaji. Brahmaji said, I can't do anything. He went to Shiva, Shivalok. Then Shiva said, we are all bewildered by Lord's Maya. Lord's Maya is very powerful. We can't help you in any way. He said, then he directly went to Vaikuntha. He went to Vishnu. Then Vishnu said, I am not independent. Shiva said and Brahmaji said that they are not independent. Okay, because they are also under the control of my energy, my Maya. So now I am under the control of my devotees. I can't help you. So Narayana started glorifying his devotees. He gave a big seminar only. I am under the control of devotees. So Durvasmani may ask, how much are the devotees your object of affection? Then Narayana said, without them, I don't deserve to enjoy my transcendental bliss or my transcendental opulences. Then Durvasmani gives an argument, oh, you are affectionate to Brahmanas, right? Then Narayana says, my devotees give up their homes, wives, everything for me. So I have to give more preference to them. Devotees control me as much as a chaste wife controls their husbands. But Brahmanas do not control me. I am affectionate to Brahmanas, but they cannot control me so much like my devotees, who give up everything for my service. So my devotees are just satisfied with just serving me. They are not interested in liberation also. And I am in my devotees' hearts, and devotees are in my hearts. So this is our close, intimate relationship. So by offending Ambarish Maharaj, you have acted out of self-envy. Offending a devotee means being envious of yourself only, because your prowess, whatever mystic powers are, your fiery demon, that will not harm the devotee, but that will harm you only. That means you acted out of self-envy. So you may be actually Narada Narayana says you must take shelter of Ambarish only. Then Durvasmani might say that he is a Kshatriya and I am a Brahmana, empowered with knowledge and austerity. How can he give me shelter? Then Narayana says, austerity and learning are for a person who is not gentle are very dangerous. Okay, you may have austerity and knowledge, but you are not gentle with devotees. So it's very dangerous for you. You better go to Ambarisha and satisfy him. So that's the end of the fourth chapter. In the fifth chapter, Durvasamani runs and catches the lotus feet of Ambarish Maharaj. Then Ambarish becomes very ashamed, embarrassed. Oh, such a great sage is touching my feet. And this whole incident is happening for almost an year. Ambarish Maharaj was standing there only, without eating anything. So he went and grabbed the feet of Ambarish Maharaj, and Ambarish Maharaj became embarrassed. And then he offered prayers to Sudarshan Chakra. Right? You have thousands of spokes, and you are religion, truth, encouraging statements, sacrifice, etc. So your effulgence dispels the darkness and manifests knowledge. So please protect this Brahmana. So Sudarshan Chakra may say that I want to play with this Brahmana now. Then Ambarish Maharaj says, no, you play with the Daityas on the battlefield, not with Brahmanas. So please show some mercy. Our family is known for giving charity and then conducting sacrifices and performing our occupational duties nicely. So if at all Lord is pleased with us and with our devotional activities, may this Durvasa be forgiven. So he said like that. So Sudarshan Chakra just retracted itself that he will not attack Durvasamani. So Durvasamani became very grateful. He glorified Ambarish Maharaj. Although I offended you, you are praying for my protection and welfare. So this is very amazing, very wonderful. So nothing is impossible for great devotees like you. Right? Yannama Sruti Matrena Bhuman Bhavati Nirmalaha Tasya Teta Padah Kimva Darshanam Avasishyate. So what is impossible for the servants of the Lord? Okay, even by hearing Lord's holy name, one will be purified. So like that, Durvasamani glorifies Ambarish Maharaj and the devotees in general in various ways, and then he goes back to Brahmaloka. So Ambarish Maharaj honors Durvasamani also, and then that's how the whole episode of Ambarish and Durvasa ends. So the Phalastuti of this whole episode is, anyone who chants or thinks about this narration becomes a pure devotee of the Lord. So now we have discussed the descendants of the sons of Vaivasvata Manu. So first one, in the first chapter, Ila Arsudyumna, right? Then we have in the third chapter, Sharyati. Then in the second chapter, Dishta, Drishta, Karusha, Narishyanta, Prashadra, right? In the fourth and fifth chapter, we have the descendants of Nabhaga. Nabhaga, Ambarisha, like that. Now these many are done. Now in the sixth chapter, we have the descriptions of the descendants of Ambarish Maharaj. We are continuing the lineage. So Ambarish Maharaj gave birth to Ketuman, Shambhu and Virupa. Virupa's son is Prishadasva. His son is Rathitara. And Rathitara's sons were begotten by Angira. So because Rathitara could not produce a son, with his permission, Angira impregnated his wife and then they got sons. And that is the story. And now the next son of our Manu is Ikshvaku. So Ikshvaku was born out of the sneeze of this Vaivasvata Manu. Although it is said that Vaivasvata Manu and Shraddha gave birth to 10 sons. So 9 sons were given birth to by the wife, Shraddha. But he was born out of sneeze. So the sound of sneeze also sounds similar to Ikshvaku. Yeah. So Ikshvaku had 100 sons. 25 sons, kings, they became kings in the western direction. 25 sons became kings in the eastern direction. And three are the main prominent sons. They are Vikukshi, Nimi and Dandaka. So they became the sons of the central portion, middle. Then others means how many are remaining? 47. 47 were ruling the north and south directions. So now Vikukshi, Nimi and Dandaka are the main sons. So here Sukadeva Goswami describes the descendants of Vikukshi. So Vikukshi, he has another name called Sashada. So once what happened, Ikshvaku was conducting a sacrifice, he had sent Sashada, Vikukshi, you go out and then get some flesh. So in some sacrifices, flesh can be offered. So he had sent Vikukshi, and then Vikukshi went and then he got some flesh for the sacrifice, and then he became a little hungry and then took a rabbit from that flesh and then he ate himself. Then he, whatever is remaining, he just gave to the sacrifice. And Vasishtha found that out. Vasishtha, because of his mystic powers, after he received this flesh, he said this is contaminated because he has already eaten. So the person who has eaten, his maha cannot be offered in the sacrifice. So he said, then Ikshvaku became very angry. So you get out of my kingdom. So Vikukshi was sent out of the kingdom. Then Ikshvaku took teachings from Vasishtha, and then slowly he renounced, he retired. Then Vikukshi, who was sent out of the kingdom, he was called back, and then he was enthroned. Then Vikukshi had a son named Puranjaya. Right? Ikshvaku's son is Vikukshi or Sashada. Why Sashada? Because he ate the rabbit. The eater of rabbit is called Sashada. So this Sashada's son is Puranjaya, and he had three names. His name is Puranjaya because he conquered the residence of demons. He was fighting on the side of demigods and then he conquered the demons. That's why his name is Puranjaya. His name is Indravaha because in that fight with the demons, Indra became his bull carrier, right? And he was sitting on the hump of the bull, okay? Hump of Indra. Indra, initially he hesitated to become the carrier of Puranjaya, but Supreme Lord told him, if you want to defeat the demons, you have to be humble. So because Indra became his carrier, his name is Indravaha. And because he sat on the hump of a bull, his name is Kakustha. Kakustha, situated on the hump of a bull. That's why his name is Kakustha. These are the three names of Vikukshi's son, Puranjaya. Then, moving forward, Puranjaya's son is Anena. Anena's son is Prithu. Prithu's son is Vishwagandhi. Then his son is Chandra. Then his son is Yavanashva. Then his son is Sravastha. He constructed townships known as Sravastipuri. That is the only activity that is mentioned by Sukadeva Goswami. His son is Bhadrasva and his son is Kovalayashva. So Kovalayashva, he had 21,000 sons. So all of them went to kill a demon called Dundhu. So that's why his name is also called Dundhumara. So, but in the fight, he killed the demon, but the demon killed his 21,000 sons with only 3-4 are left. Three sons are left, correct. So 19,997 sons are killed by Dundhu in the battle. So the remaining three sons are Drishasva, then Kapilashva, Bhadrashva. So the next, Kovalayashva to Yamanashva. There are other descendants from Dundhumara. So his descendants are given. So for Yavanashva, so the whole lineage comes till Yavanashva. This is touch screen. So they all went to forest along with the wives, with 100 wives. So none of them got sons. The sages started performing a Indra Yajna for a son, for Yavanashva. So what happened was, they performed the sacrifice, and that mantra chanted water, the auspicious water was there, that was to be drunk by the wife of Yavanashva so that she could give a birth to a son. So in the middle of the night, Yavanashva became very thirsty and then he went and then drank that water. So sages thought, oh, Supreme Lord's Maya is very powerful, right? His will is very powerful. So they said like that. And then finally, after a while, this son took birth from the womb of the from the left side of the womb of Yavanashva only. From his abdomen only he came. The son came out. And the son was crying for mother's breast milk. But he didn't have a mother. He had only father. So now Indra, because the whole performance of sacrifice was for Indra, this was Indra Yajna, Indra came and then put his index finger in the mouth of the child. And that child's name is Mandhata. So he was nourished by Indra. Like that. So Indra's Mandhata's father, Yavanashva, he attained perfection. And then Mandhata became the king. So this Mandhata, in this chapter of 6th chapter, this Mandhata's descendants are given. So Mandhata had 50 daughters. So now these 50 daughters got married to Saubhari Muni. So Saubhari Muni was actually performing his great austerities underwater in Yamuna. So he came out of Yamuna after seeing the union of two fish. So fish were uniting and then he developed lusty desires. This development of lust in Saubhari is because of his Vaishnava Prad committed against Garuda. So he came out of Yamuna water and then he went to the king of Mathura, who is Mandhata, and then asked, I want to marry your daughter. So Mandhata, seeing this old sage, right, he disagreed. He said, no. Then he said, he didn't want to say directly no. He said, I will get my daughters married only if they choose their husband. So if they like you, you can marry, like that. So then one of his messengers came and took Saubhari Muni to the quarters of the daughters. So on the way, Saubhari Muni got transformed into beautiful young man, like a Gandharva, who could be attracted even by celestial beings. So once Saubhari Muni arrived at the palace of these princesses, all of them unanimously said that, I want him as my husband. I saw him first, like that. So Mandhata got all the 50 daughters married to Saubhari Muni, and then he expanded into 50, and then he expanded into 5,000 by giving 100 sons to each of them. Right? After a while, Saubhari Muni started lamenting. I was alone earlier. I lost the results of all my austerities just by seeing the coupling of two fish. So he was remembering all that. So a person who is desiring liberation, he must give up the association of people who are interested in sex life. So he should not employ his senses externally. He should stay in a secluded place, if not in the association of devotees. Right? He should always fix his mind on the Supreme Lord's lotus feet. So he felt like that. So he stayed in the family life for a while only, and then he entered Vanaprastha life. He slowly became renounced, and all his 50 wives also followed Saubhari Muni. So this is the description of the daughters of Mandhata. Now he had sons also. That is described in the 7th chapter. So Mandhata, so Mandhata's sons are Ambarisha and Purukutsa, right? So this Ambarisha is different from the earlier Ambarisha. So first, the story of Purukutsa is given. Purukutsa is the son of Mandhata. So Mandhata, Purukutsa, he got married to Narmada, right? And Narmada took this Purukutsa to Rasatal, because Vasuki called, okay? And he took her husband, Purukutsa, to Rasatal. And at Rasatal, Purukutsa killed so many Gandharvas who deserved to be killed. So, and he received a benediction from the serpents. What is the benediction? Whoever remembers this story of Purukutsa going to Rasatal and killing some Gandharvas, so he will be freed from the fear of snakes. That is the benediction. So we kept this board here in our godown, these verses. That is Purukutsa. Then, Purukutsa's son is Trasadashu, and his son is Anaranya, and his son is Hariyashva, his son is Praruna, then Trinabindu, Tribandhana. So like that, the lineage comes till Trishanku, and then till Harishchandra. So Harishchandra's story was elaborated by Sukadeva Goswami. Harishchandra wanted a son, but he didn't have a son. So he asked Varunadev. He said, please give me a son. If you give me a son, I will perform a sacrifice with that son only for your satisfaction. Varuna said, okay, take a son. So he gets a son. The son's name is Rohita. But Harishchandra became very affectionate towards this son, and then he was not willing to perform sacrifice for Varuna. So Varuna was coming repeatedly. So for giving various reasons, Harishchandra was postponing the sacrifice. Okay, I will do sacrifice after 10 days. I will do sacrifice after the baby develops the teeth. I will do sacrifice after the teeth falls off. Then again, I will develop sacrifice again when the teeth grows, right? And after he becomes well-versed in handling all weapons, then I will perform sacrifice. Like that, he was postponing. So then Rohita was becoming older, and then he understood that my father will be sacrificing me for the satisfaction of Varunadev. So then he ran away from the kingdom. So then Harishchandra got attacked by this dropsy, the disease. Then Rohita was wandering. After 1 year, he wanted to come back. Then Indra came. Indra came and he told, in the form of an old Brahmana, and told Rohita that you go away by giving some reason. So Rohita did not come. So like that, 6 years passed. At the end of 6th year, what Rohit did was, he went to one person, Ajigartha, and then he bought his son like a slave. His name is Sunaschepa. So he got the Sunaschepa and gave him to his father Harishchandra and said, you do the sacrifice with this person. So somehow in that sacrifice, the Sunaschepa was not killed, okay, was not sacrificed. He was accepted by Vishwamitra as one of his sons. This story will come later. In this cant only. So Harishchandra's dropsy was cured. That is the story of Harishchandra. So Harishchandra also performed so many sacrifices for the demigods, then for Varuna. Then, yeah, that's how the 7th chapter ends, with the story of Harishchandra. Now, 8th chapter. So Harishchandra's son is Rohita. His son is Harita. Then his son is Champa. Then Sudeva, Vijaya, Bharuka, Vrika, then Bahuka. So the story comes till Bahuka. So Bahuka, he died, right? And family, the spiritual master Aurvamuni, so he forbade his wife. When Bahuka died, his wife was entering the fire, wanted to do sati. But at that time she was pregnant. So Aurvamuni stopped her, please don't enter the fire. So, because the descendant is growing in your womb. So, saying that, Arvamuni stopped him. But what happened was, her co-wives poisoned her. They became envious and then they poisoned this lady and to kill the child. But the child was not killed, but the child was born with that poison, Gara. That's why his name is Sagara, who was born with poison. And this Sagara performed so many sacrifices. So, when Sagara was performing sacrifice, Indra became little insecure and then he stole the horse, right? So, he stole the horse and then he went to Kapildev, right? The horse was parked and outside the cottage of Kapildev at Ganga Sagar. So, all the sons of Sagara, he actually had two wives, Sumati and Keshini. So, the sons of Sumati were 60,000 and they all were little proud. So they went to search the horse. They excavated the earth and then they reached till Ganga Sagar and then they saw this horse next to Kapila. And because of Indra bewildered their intelligence, they thought that, okay, Kapil Muni stole the horse and then said, kill him, kill him. He is the thief. So because they offended Kapil Dev, the fire within their bodies only became so huge that it burned them only. So the power of offense to a devotee or a supreme lord, a great personality, will burn oneself only. That is the lesson here. So Sagara's sons were burned to ashes because of that offense. And Sukadeva Goswami clarifies that this is not because of Kapildev. Kapildev did not burn them to ashes. You see some paintings also, right? Kapildev, some fire is coming from the eyes of Kapildev and then burning all these 60,000 sons. That was not the actual thing happened. So they were burned because of the Vaishnava aparat, because of the aparat to Kapil Dev. So now Sagara was waiting for the horse. So Sagara had another son. So Sagara's 60,000 sons were the son through the wife of Sumati, and he had another wife, Keshini. She had only one son. His son was called Asamanjasa. So this Asamanjasa was actually a great yogi in his previous birth, but because of some mistakes and some imperfections, he had to take birth again. So in this birth, as the son of Sagara, he was behaving very weirdly, right? He just took some children and then threw them into the water bodies, and then he was behaving very whimsically. He was making a show like that. Then Sagara became very disgusted, and then he said, "You get out of my kingdom." And that's what Asamanjasa wanted. Asamanjasa, before leaving the kingdom of Ayodhya, so he revived all those children whom he threw into the water, and then he left. Then everyone became very wondered. Oh, this is a great mystic person. And then Sagara became a little embarrassed because of banishing Asamanjasa. Then this Asamanjasa had one son, right? His son was Anshuman. So this Anshuman, he was serving his grandfather. His name is Sagara. Sagara is his grandfather. He went out to search this horse. So actually Sagara wanted to complete the sacrifice, but the horse was missing. And his 60,000 sons who went for the searching the horse, they were also missing. So he had sent Anshuman. So Anshuman went. So Anshuman went and saw Kapil Dev, and then he offered beautiful prayers. So what were the prayers? He said, "Even Brahmaji cannot understand you. How can my uncles understand you? Right, please forgive them." Then all the jivas cannot see you, because they can see only the functionings of the material energy, the modes, so they cannot see you. And who can see you? People who are freed from these modes, they can see you. And you are transcendental to these modes, transcendental to the material nature. So because of anarthas, lust, anger, pride, greed, etc., because of that, one will wander in this material world perpetually. But by seeing you, one will be freed from lust. So I have got your darshan. Please help me. Then Kapil Dev was very much satisfied with the prayers of Anshuman, and he said, "Please take this horse. But your uncles will be revived only by Ganga Devi, not me." So he said that. So Anshuman brought the horse back to Sagara, and then Sagara performed the horse sacrifice, and Sagara eventually he retired. Then Anshuman could not bring Bhagirathi, this Ganga down. Then his son Dilipa, he also failed. He tried, but he failed. Then his son, his name is Bhagiratha. So he succeeded. So he performed great austerities for the satisfaction of Ganga. And then Ganga appeared in front of Bhagiratha. And then she said, "I will come down, but who will sustain my force? I will come with a force that can pierce this planet, and I can enter Patal. So that is the force. But who will sustain that force?" That was one question. Second question: when I come as a river on this earthly planet, many people will come and take bath in me and dump their sins in me. Who will protect me from those sins? So that were her questions. Then Bhagiratha answered the questions. He said, "Devotees, great devotees, sages, because they carry the Supreme Lord in their hearts, by dint of the presence of Supreme Lord in their hearts, who is Agabid, who can vanquish all sins, so they will purify you, right? Don't worry about that. Second, who will sustain your force? Lord Shiva can sustain your force." So he said this, and then he performed austerities for the satisfaction of Lord Shiva, and Shiva agreed to the proposal of Bhagiratha. And then Ganga Devi descended on the head of Shiva. Right? Shiva accepted that beautiful charanamrit, beautiful water that washed the lotus feet of the Lord. And then Ganga descended onto this planet, earthly planet. And Bhagiratha. So he was going, and then Ganga was following Bhagiratha. And then while following Bhagiratha, Ganga was like purifying all the places there. Right? The whole descent of Ganga was described there. And Ganga eventually came to the place of Ganga Sagar and then purified the Sagara sons, 60,000 sons. So she delivered all of them. So that is the story of descent of Ganga. Now the descendants of Bhagiratha are described by Sukadeva Goswami. Bhagiratha's son is Shruta. Shruta's son is Nabha. Nabha's son is Sindhudvipa. The whole lineage will come to a king whose name is Sudasa. His son's name is Saudasa. So this Saudasa was actually a disciple of Vasishtha Muni, and Vasishtha Muni taught him many things. And then one day this Saudasa, he killed a Rakshasa. So he killed a Rakshasa and then he left his brother. Brother, he showed mercy and then he left. That brother, Rakshasa's brother, he came and joined the kitchen of Saudasa. And then one day when Saudasa invited Vasishtha Muni for a meal, this Rakshasa cook, he cooked human flesh. So without knowing that, the king, Saudasa, he served human flesh to Vasishtha. Vasishtha said, am I a man-eater? Why are you serving me human flesh? You become man-eater. And then he cursed him. So, and then he realized that, I cursed him unnecessarily. This was not actually the mistake of the king. It was the mistake of Rakshasa cook, right, who wanted to take revenge on the king. So then Vasishtha Muni, as an atonement or whatever, he did austerities for 12 years. Right? So he punished himself for 12 years. Then, because this person, Saudasa, was cursed to become a man-eater for 12 years. Then actually this Saudasa also wanted to curse Vasishtha. He took the water and then he chanted mantra. And then his wife stopped him. Please don't curse Vasishtha. He's a Brahmana, he's your guru. Then he just put that water on his feet only. Then he became Kalmashapada. There is a mark, spot on his leg. Then he is also called Mitra Saha because he took the counseling, the suggestion of his wife. So then he became a Rakshasa. He became a man-eater. So one day one Brahmana and Brahmani wife were uniting with each other. So Brahmana was impregnating his wife. And then because this Saudasa, although he is a king, he developed the habits of a man-eater. So he went and then in spite of the Brahmani's pitiable words and so many religious arguments, still because of the bad destiny, because he developed the qualities of a man-eater, he just seized the Brahmana and then killed him and then ate him. So Brahmani cursed. She did sati before doing sati. So she cursed Saudasa. When I am uniting with my husband, you caused separation, you killed my husband. If you unite, when you unite with your wife, you will also be killed. You will die. She cursed like that and then she entered sati and attained the same destination as her husband. Then one day, after the 12 years passed, one day our Saudasa, he wanted to unite with his wife. So, but the wife told him, you remember the curse of Brahmani? So then he remembered the curse and then he gave up the idea of having a son. But after a while, he requested Vasishtha, please impregnate my wife. So then Vasishtha impregnates the wife of this Saudasa, like that. But that child was there in the womb of that lady for 7 years. So then Vasishtha took a stone and then bet her womb. So Saudasa's son came out. His name is Asmaka, right? He was struck by stone when he was in the womb. So Asmaka's son is Balika. And his Balika, he is also called Nari Kavacha. He is Nari Kavacha because he was protected from Parashurama by many women. Like that. So then Balika's son is Dasharatha. Then the lineage comes till the point of Khatvanga. So Khatvanga's story is elaborated by Sukadeva Goswami. So Khatvanga, this Khatvanga was requested by the demigods. Demigods told Khatvanga, please come and fight the demons from our side. So after the fight was over, then Khatvanga inquired the demigods, so what is the remaining duration of my life? They said one muhurta. So one muhurta. Then Khatvanga said, okay, this one muhurta I have to utilize nicely. So then he went into contemplation. He felt that I am so much in favor of Brahminical culture. Brahminical culture is very dear to me. Then later he thought, since my childhood I was not at all interested in childhood plays and other things, material things. I always had this understanding that only Supreme Personality of Godhead is most substantial. And I am not interested in the benedictions given by the demigods. Right? I am interested only in the service of the Supreme Lord. Because these demigods, they also get agitated. They cannot focus their minds on the Supreme Lord. But I will focus my mind on the Supreme Lord. This whole world is like a Gandharvapura. Like that he, in that one muhurta, he absorbed himself in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord. And then he attained perfection. This is the story of Khatvanga. Then comes the stories of Lord Ramachandra in the next chapter. Khatvanga's son is Dirghabahu. His son is Raghu. So that's why Supreme Lord Ramachandra also called Raghava. He is coming from Raghu dynasty also. Then Ikshvaku Kula Tilaka, because he is coming from Ikshvaku's dynasty, like that. So Raghu's son is Aja. Aja's son is Dasaratha. Dasaratha's son is Lord Ramachandra. So in the 10th chapter, Sukadeva Goswami summarizes the beautiful pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. So this we have seen very elaborately. So if you wish, should we discuss that for a few minutes by going to that PPT of all images of Ram? Or it's okay, we'll end this 10th chapter. Where is it? So Sukadeva Goswami summarized all the pastimes of Lord Ram. In our regular class, we elaborated. Now we'll compress more than Sukadeva Goswami. Right? More compressed version. Yeah, all the demigods were tormented by the demons. And they went to Brahmaji. And all the demigods along with Brahmaji, they went to Lord Vishnu. And then said, we are tormented by demons. Then Vishnu... So he descended as Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata, Shatrughna, Vishnu and his expansions, right? And Lord told the demigods to become monkeys also. So Dasaratha Maharaj did a sacrifice and then Ram, Lakshmana, Bharata, Shatrughna were born. Then in the initial part, in two verses, Sukadeva Goswami summarizes Lord Ram's activities nicely, right? Whole Ramayana is given in two verses only. Then he elaborates. So first he, in one of the purports, Prabhupada says that one has to read the descriptions of Lord Raman from authentic sources only, like Valmiki or here Sukadeva Goswami. These are the authentic sources. So Lord Ram went to Vanavas. May Lord Ram's lotus feet are so tender and soft that even when Sita Devi touches those feet, they become little, whatever, reddish. They cannot bear that touch, right? And such Lord Ram went for Vanavas. May that Lord Ram who went for Vanavas to fulfill the promise of Dasaratha, may he give us protection. That is one prayer offered by Sukadeva Goswami. Then first one of the activities was on the order of Vishwamitra Guru. So this Ram killed the first demon Tataki. Then later he killed this Maricha and Subahu. Then Lord Ram and Lakshman, they served Vishwamitra nicely, they pleased him. And then he awarded him so many astras, Atbala, Atibala, etc. And then Lord Vishwamitra also took Ram and Lakshman to Mithila. On the way, this Ahalya was delivered. Then this was described elaborately by Sukadeva Goswami. So Sukadeva Goswami said, Lord Ram lifted the bow of Lord Shiva just like a baby elephant lifts a sugar cane and then broke it into half. Right? So the Swayamvar happened and then Sita married, and on the way back to Ayodhya, now this marriage happened, this breaking of bow happened in Mithila, so they were going on the way back to Ayodhya. So then Parashuram came and said, who is that Ram? And Ram said, you are the Ram. Okay, you are Ram. Then the very nice discussion happened. And this is the one point where Vishwamitra and Vasishtha agreed to one point. That is just falling flat when Parashuram is coming. So when Parashuram comes, Dasarath Maharaj asked Vishwamitra, so what are we supposed to do? We just have to fall flat. We have only one opinion. There is no difference of opinion, which we often have. Like that. So Parashuram ended his incarnation. Then Manthara polluted the brain of Kaikeyi, and then she asked the two benedictions. One, Lord Ram has to go for Vanvas. Second, Bharat has to be enthroned. And this was communicated by Kaikeyi only to Lord Ramachandra. And then Ramachandra, without a change of expression, very gratefully just accepted this, and then he went wearing tree bark and other simple muni vesh. He went for Vanvas. And out of separation from Lord Ramachandra, Dasarath Maharaj, he gave up his body. So on the way, he also meets this Guha, right, who makes him cross the river. And Lord Ram meets so many sages, gives them association. And at this point, only all the sages desire to unite with Lord Ram. But they were in male bodies. So all of them were benedicted to become gopis in the next life and then dance with Krishna. So in Vrindavan. And Lord Ram also killed Kabandha, so who had only one eye and one mouth in his belly. Right? Then this is Kabandha, another painting. Then he also killed Viradha. Then Surpanaka came and she got attracted to Lord Ram. Then he came and she came in the form of a beautiful woman. And then Ram said, you go to my brother, Lakshman. And yeah, some sources also say, as we discussed, she did not change her form. So both were just refuting, both were just arguing, you take him, you take him, you take him. And Surpanaka just attacked Sita, it's all because of you. Then Lakshman cut her nose and ears and then sent her away. Then Sita, Surpanaka went to Ravana and said, oh, Sita Devi, so... No, before that, Surpanaka sends 14,000 Rakshasas headed by Kara and Dushana. Lord Ram kills all of them in one moment, within 1 hour, right? 14,000 Rakshasas without a chariot or without anything, single-handedly. And Lakshmana was just protecting Sita Devi. So Surpanaka went to Ravana and described the beauty of Sita Devi. Now her plan was, if Sita Devi is kidnapped by Ravan somehow, I can go and kidnap or do whatever with Ram. Okay, Ram will become mine. So that was her plan. So Ravan went to Maricha. Maricha advised that, please don't do this. I know his prowess. Then Ravan said, I will kill you if you don't do this. Help for me. So Maricha preferred to die in the hands of Ram instead of Ravan. He became a beautiful deer, golden deer, and Sita wanted that deer. So Sita asked for the deer. Lakshman said, no, this is some magic of some demon. Don't get attracted. Then Ram said, if it is magic, then I will, you know, reveal that. Or if it is not any maya, then I will get and please her. Because Sita never asks like this. So then Ram went. Then because Ram shouts, Ha Sita, Ha Lakshman, and then Lakshman, Sita becomes worried, and then she sends Lakshman also away. Then Ravan comes in the form of a sage, and then kidnaps Mother Sita, and Jatayu. So Jatayu comes and then fights with Ravan. Ravan kills Jatayu. So Jatayu was in her, takes Sita Devi back to Lanka, then Ram back to the scene here. Ram was lamenting so much. He was in separation from Mother Sita. Then on the way he sees Jatayu. Okay, he does the final rites of Jatayu and awards liberation to Jatayu also. And he moves further, and then he sees Shabari. Shabari suggests that you go and make friendship with Sugriva and Hanuman. And I have been waiting for you since long time. And then she feeds fruits, and then Shabari becomes a river. Then Lord Ram goes, and Sugriva becomes suspectful. Oh, who are those human beings coming? Are they sent by Vali, my brother, to kill me? Oh, Hanumanji, go and find out. So Hanuman goes in the form of a Brahman. Okay. Then he finds that Ram and Lakshman are his worshipable masters only. And then he touches his lotus feet and then takes them to Sugriva. And Sugriva and Ram does friendship, right? They promise each other to, you know, get their wives back. Then Lord Ram kills Vali and then gives the kingdom of Kishkindha to this Sugriva. Then Sugriva, as per his promise after the Chaturmasya, he sends all his monkey army to find out where Sita is. So Lord Ram, being confident that Hanumanji only will find out Sita Devi, he gives him the ring, and then Hanumanji goes to Sita Devi and he shows the ring and he accepts the Chudamani of Sita Devi. This whole part is kind of skipped by Sukadeva Goswami. And Lord Ram goes to the bank of ocean and he asks the ocean god, please show us some way. And for 3 days he doesn't respond only. Lord Ram becomes angry. Right, this is the one of the, you know, two times I think he becomes angry, and then this is one of that scene. So Samudra comes out. We are Jadadhiya. Okay, we are the animal. Our intelligence is like that of an animal. Without beating, animal will not function. Similarly, we also have become like that. So please, don't be angry. You can use my waters the way you want. You can even walk on my water also. But I suggest that you make a bridge. You make a stone bridge so that in future you will be glorified for this activity. Although my water will not impede you in your walking towards Lanka, still I would want you to do that. Then Samudra comes with so much of worship paraphernalia also to worship Lord Ram, and he even criticizes Ravana. He criticizes Ravana. Then the whole beautiful stone bridge was made by all the monkeys, and even squirrel also helps, and Lord Ram goes to Lanka, right? He also sends Angada to Lanka to give a message to Ravan, Sandhi. So Vibhishan comes. So Vibhishan was sent away from Lanka because he was suggesting against the desires of Ravana. Vibhishan was sent away. So Vibhishan comes and surrenders to Lord Ram, and then the whole fight happens, and the fight was fast forwarded by Sukadeva Goswami. So Kumbhakarna was died, and then Nikumbha, then Narantaka, Surantaka, so many other demons, they all died. Right? Lakshman kills Indrajit, right? And Ram kills Ravan. Then when Ravana was killed, all these wives headed by Mandodari, they came and lamented, you are like such a glorious king. Now because of your lusty activities, you have become like this. Your soul is fit to go to hell. Your body is fit to be eaten by animals. That is the destiny of a person who has uncontrolled senses. So she also says, because she knows the chastity of, power of chastity of Sita Devi, she knows what will be the destiny of a person who offends a chaste lady. So now after Ravana was killed, Ram suggests that Vibhishan performs the final rites of Ravana. After that, Sita Devi's chastity was proved, then Agni comes, then, okay. These are all about the Mandodari's, talk. Okay, then Ram, Sita, Lakshman and all the monkey chiefs, they go back to Ayodhya. Ram was received so nicely at his kingdom, Ayodhya. Then he meets Bharat. Bharat was sustaining only on cow urine and barley. For all these 14 years, he was worshipping the lotus, the paduka of Ram, and then taking the charge of kingdom without accepting any facility in the kingdom. So Lord Ram was enthroned. Then this one description beautifully, Sukadeva Goswami explains how Bharat offered sandals, and then Sugriva offered a shield, and Jambavan offered a knife, sword, and all how different personalities offered various things to the Supreme Lord Ram. Ram was enthroned. So this is the 10th chapter in short. Now in the 11th chapter, Sukadeva Goswami gives the descriptions of Ram Rajya. Okay, Lord Ram was ruling so ideally, that he conducts sacrifices, and then in that sacrifices he worships himself, and then after the sacrifice he offers charity to Brahmanas, and he offers everything except his personal clothes and Sita Devi's nose ring. Everything was donated to the Brahmanas, and Brahmanas accept it, and then they return it back. So Shyamananda Prabhu gives a very nice explanation on this. What is this going on? Is it so ritualistic that Ram already knows that all these Brahmanas would return it back to me? And Brahmanas know that Ram is giving to us, we don't use it anyways. Right? Both parties know that this whole transaction was in one sense redundant. Ram gives to them and they will return it back. Okay. So it seems like a ritual. Shyamananda Prabhu says, by doing this, Kshatriyas are declaring that they are sustaining on the remnants of Brahmanas. Their sustenance is totally on the blessings of Brahmanas. To prove that, many times it is done. When Vishwamitra comes to Dasharatha to take the assistance of Ram and Lakshman, so before he put that proposal, Dasharatha says, my whole kingdom and my whole army is at your lotus feet. Do whatever you want. We surrender unto you. Then when he requests Lord Ram, then the whole thing changes. So even Prithu Maharaj also says, we are just ruling the Uchishta. Prithu Maharaj tells the four Kumaras, we are just ruling the Uchishta of Brahmanas. Okay. So all of them return it to back, because you are staying directly in our hearts. We don't need any other material donations. Right? We are satisfied with that. Then, how Lord Ram banished Sita Devi. And no, this is working. Yeah. So Lord Ram banished Sita Devi, and Sita Devi, in separation from Lord Ram, so she went into the earth. So before that, she gave birth to Lava and Kusha and entrusted them under the care of Valmiki Muni. Okay. And Lord Ram also was in separation from Mother Sita, and for 13,000 years he was following Brahmacharya, and then he was following daily Agnihotra Homa, this sacrifice, right? And after 13,000 years, so he left. Then all the devotees who were in separation when Lord Ram went to Vanavas, Ayodhya, so they became even more in separation when Lord Ram ended his pastimes, right? So that's how Sukadeva Goswami ends. Then Parikshit Maharaj asks him a question. How did Lord Ram conduct himself? Right? How did he deal with his brothers and other citizens? So in response to that, Sukadeva Goswami elaborates more. So Lord Ram was staying in the kingdom and giving his personal association to all the Ayodhya Vasis. And Lord Ram sent his brothers outside to conquer other kingdoms. Right? So Prabhupada says that a guru sends, some mature disciples out for preaching, okay, and he keeps all the new devotees here. So it's like Kanishta Adhikari and then Uttama Adhikari or Madhyama Adhikari. So they can go out for preaching. So Lord Ram doesn't allow his devotees to do sense gratification. For his brothers, the sense gratification was to be in his personal association. So, yeah, Ramchandra's reputation is also mentioned, and at the end, Falastuti he gave. Purusho Ramacharitam Sravaneru Padharayan Andrisham Saparo Rajan Karma Bandhair Vimuchyate. By hearing the descriptions of Lord Ram's pastimes, one will be freed from this quality of envy, right? And at the end, end of previous chapter, the glorification of Ram and Sita were given. Ekapatni vratadharo, and then Premna nivritya silena, that thing. So that's how the 11th chapter also ends. Then the 12th chapter describes the descendants of Kusha, one of the sons of Lord Ramachandra, right? This is a list of so many kings' names. And 13th chapter describes the descendants of Nimi Maharaj, one of the great kings in the dynasty of Ikshvaku. So Nimi Maharaj requested Vasishta, "You please conduct a sacrifice for me." Then Vasishta already agreed to do a sacrifice for Indra. So he goes to Indra and he tells Nimi also, "You please wait for me. Okay, I will do that sacrifice and then come back to you." Nimi thought, okay, why should I waste time, right? So he conducts sacrifice with another priest. Then after Vasishta comes back, he becomes angry. "I will curse you that your material body will fall off." Then Nimi loses his material body. Before that, Nimi also curses Vasishta. "Your material body also will fall off," right? He also leaves his body. But Vasishta takes birth again from Urvashi when Mitra and Varuna became lusty and discharged their semen at some time. Vasishta takes birth again. So, but Nimi's body was preserved by other priests in the sacrifice. And then they pray to the demigods, "Please revive Nimi's body." So Nimi, then demigods were willing to give him a material body, but Nimi was not interested in accepting that. So demigod said, "Let him live in his spiritual body only." And Prabhupada clarifies, this spiritual body is not the subtle body of mind, mind, intelligence and false ego. It is actually the spiritual body with which one can do pure devotional service. That's how Nimi perfected his life. So then the further descendants are given, Janaka, Mithila, all that. That's how the 13th chapter ends. So that is the end of the Sun dynasty. Right? From 14th chapter onwards, we have the description of Moon dynasty. So we have completed half of the canto. So now after a short break, we'll continue with the second half, Moon dynasty. Dusra, I don't remember. Two or three times, something like that. Hare Krishna. So we have completed the description of the Sun dynasty. Now next comes the Moon dynasty. So Moon dynasty from 14th chapter till 24th chapter. Can you increase the brightness? Prove brightness. I can't see properly. So in the 14th chapter, we have the descriptions of Soma, moon's activities, more, and other Pururava and Urvasi. So Garbhodakasaya Vishnu's son is Brahmaji, Brahmaji's son is Atri, Atri's son is Soma. So this is the lineage. This Soma, so he got attracted to Tara. Tara is the wife of Brihaspati, Devaguru. So he kidnaps Tara, right? And there was a big fight between the demigods and demons, right? Soma is fighting against Brihaspati, and all the demigods took the side of Brihaspati, and all the demons took the side of Soma, right? There was a big fight. Even Shiva was also participating in this in the fight. Because Soma has conquered the three worlds, he became very puffed up. So he forcefully kidnapped Tara, Brihaspati's wife. So fight was going on, and then Brahmaji came, and then he chastised Soma. What are you doing? You just return the wife of Brihaspati back, Tara. So then, because he chastised, Soma retained Tara back to Brihaspati, and that time Tara was pregnant. So then Brihaspati said, who impregnated you? I will not chastise you. Tell me, but reveal the truth. Then Brahmaji took her aside and then inquired confidentially what happened. Then Tara said, this son is actually Soma's son. Soma impregnated me. So the son took birth, and then the child was asking mother, so why are you not admitting your fault? Who is my father? Tell me. Then she reveals to Brahmaji that this is the son of Soma. So this person, this son, is happening to be very intelligent. That's why he is called Buddha. So he was named Buddha. So this Buddha, who is the son of Soma, he got attracted to Ila, okay, the female form of Sudyumna. So their son was Pururava, right? So Pururava is very great king, and then once Narada Muni, he told about Pururava to Urvasi. So Urvasi got attracted to the qualities of Pururava. So Urvasi goes and then meets Pururava, and then they get attracted to each other. Urvasi said, who is that woman who is not attracted to you? Then Pururava said, oh, your beauty is also very wonderful. So then they agree to marry. Then Urvasi puts two conditions, right? I will eat only ghee preparations. Then I never want to.